T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Baseball is back. The Brewers 2020 championship season is underway in Merrivale, Arizona. It's time for Spring Training Live with Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid on The Fan.
And welcome in, Brewers fans. It is a final from Surprise, Arizona, the Brewers Cactus League victory over the Royals. It's a finish. And that Brett Phillips, Billy, I don't know if you noticed this, he had a bunt attempt again against the Brewers.
Oh, come on, Brett. You're smarter than that.
Hit your way into the
back
into the
bigs. Get into 2020 and swing that thing.
Welcome, everybody. It's Spring Training Live, live from American Family Fields of Phoenix. Brewers on the road today. As I said, they were in Surprise. They get the victory today. And Brandon Woodruff got the start today. His last time out, it got bumped up just a little bit, not much. Three hits and a run in the first inning his last time out. Couple of hits and a run in the first inning today, but he settled in and he pitches 4 innings, 5 strikeouts, just that one run. Good to see Woody starting to tune up and extend himself a little
because
bit.
Because the thing is, Tim, he became the all-star that I had believed that he could be, and a lot of people had hoped that he would become, or at least one of those guys, either Peralta or Burns would become. But now you need to take the next step. Now you need to do it for 200 innings during a year and supplant yourself and continue to stack that success up and do it again. Everybody's able to have the 1 year, but now you got to be able to back it up and get it after it one more time. And also lower that ERA a little bit because it did get a little bit higher than you would have liked.
Little lofty here for Woody. And I would imagine by the end of this week, Craig Counsell will name his opening day starter officially. And that's going to be Brandon Woodruff. I would be shocked if it weren't Brandon Woodruff. I don't know who
I'd
else
rather
it be
Marcus Hanel. So, love Kuz, but I don't know. It's one of the only superstitions I have in all pro sports. I don't want Brandon Woodruff falling victim of the opening day starter jinx in Milwaukee.
There might be something there, guys. It just every opening day starter for the last, 5 years?
5-6 years.
Has had some issues following
Willie
that.
Peralta, Yolish Chacin.
Yep. Kyle Loesch,
Chase Anderson spiked his face off the dirt.
Giovanni Gallardo.
Oh, man.
Going back a few years. Absolutely. They're on a run. Yolish Chacin, that's a story in itself. But I would imagine they're going to announce Brandon Woodruff as the starter. He got the start today in Surprise against the Royals. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Good sign that your stuff's where you want it to be.
Yeah, I think I was mentioning that to somebody else the other day. I was like, This spring's been a little bit different for me. I haven't necessarily, I guess, gone for the strikeouts. I wasn't really going for them today, but it's like you start getting those good counts, like I was mentioning, you start getting ahead, and then things start working out. So it was good to see some strikeouts today, just, you know, kind of getting back into that and I guess, kind of reassurance that, you know, I can still go out there and put up some strikeout numbers. So good day, and then, you know, just try to move on from that and learn from some of the stuff I didn't do good and try to take it into the next one.
Anything different, easier with working with Omar again?
Yeah, we were definitely on the same page today. We talked a little bit at length, you know, in between last time he caught me and now. So, you know, it's just one of those things. He's new. He did the same thing with Yasmani last year. It was, you had to get used to the catcher, the way we want to pitch, the way, you know, kind of the way, get a feel for them, the way they set up behind the plate. There's all kind of variables. So we're getting to know each other, and I think today was, you know, a good step in that direction, and I think it'll just continue to get better.
Yeah, and that's half the battle here. You start playing different catcher every year, and you do have to get used to that battery combination. There's no question about it, and Woody alluded to that, getting a little bit better each time out. Talking about Omar Narvaez, as Woodruff, again, four innings today, did strike out five, just gave up a run in a Cactus League victory for the Brewers. Now 10-6-2. If you're keeping track at home. That's nice.
That's pretty impressive. I know you're not winning any World Series titles or getting yourself into the playoffs with it, but there's something to be said for a team that's being doubted across the country and doubted in their own backyard to come out and showcase that they have the depth that everybody has been talking about. They have a lot of guys that are going to be able to factor into a major league team and hopefully one that can compete in the best division in baseball in the NL Central.
And speaking of the depth, we move to the news of the day, and that is what we learned from Craig Counsell earlier today. And that is Eric Lauer. And we're going to hear from Eric Lauer, the Brewers' left-hander, coming up next hour, so stick around for that. But hey, that depth is coming in handy right now. Craig Counsell with the news on Lauer.
So Eric Lauer has left shoulder impingement right now he's dealing with. He's kind of experienced it after his last start. So he's shutting down from catch for about 7 days until far. Hoping he will play catch by the end of the week. There was no need for tests or anything, or you know, diagnostics or anything like that. It's relatively minor, but it does probably rule out the start of the season for him. So you know, we're hoping to have him back on the field playing catch later this week. We strongly anticipate he will, but not going to be ready for the start of the season.
And there's the news on Eric Lauer, as that kind of weeds things out a little bit, if you will, in that bottom part of the rotation. Again, the organization and Craig Counsell and his staff came out and said that Eric Lauer and Freddie Peralta were going after that five hole in the rotation.
And they said that Corbin Burnes was in a grouping just below that with Shelby Miller, correct?
Correct.
So now both of those guys have thrown the ball really, really well so far. So does that change? Has he now been elevated a little bit? Has he been bumped up? Is there a chance that Corbin Burnes, who came out here last night and threw four really, really good innings, struck out, what, seven guys last night, Sam?
He is having a dynamite spring.
When we talk to Craig Counsell, hopefully either tomorrow or Thursday, that's the question that I just want to ask him is, has Corbin got himself back into that conversation?
Right.
Has he gotten himself back into that tier where Freddie is? Because Freddie, very inversely, hasn't played all that well so far.
A little wild.
A little wild.
And his control.
No kidding.
His control absolutely is an issue here. And that is what he's got to harness here to have any success, or really to stay in that rotation. And now you wonder, I mean, you really do wonder about that five hole in the rotation. And a lot of people are thinking, like, guys, you're talking about the five spot in the rotation. What's he going to do? Yeah, he gets the same amount of starts as the three guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he pitches well and stays in there, he's going to get his 30 starts. So who do you break camp with in the rotation in the five-man rotation? The four are set. But here's why Craig Counsell is not really a habit of predicting the future. He's like, okay, we have an idea, but a lot can happen from now until then. And it happened with Eric Lauer. So we'll wait and see. Shelby Miller, Corbin Burnes, Freddie Peralta. I believe they're leaning Freddie Peralta's way. Corbin Burnes. Keep in mind, these two guys are two of the three that they broke camp with
yes.
in the rotation
yes.
last year.
But now you also, you know my stance on Freddie. I think he is just dangerous if he comes out of the bullpen. I would rather have Burnes be in that starting rotation, take that chance with that lottery ticket,
yeah.
that lightning can't strike twice, and this dude's not going to give up 11 home runs in the first four games. I just cannot believe that happens.
It's almost impossible for that to happen.
It pretty
again.
Much is impossible yeah. to be yeah. worse than what happened to start last year. So why not go back at it with a guy that was your minor league pitcher of the year, who is developed as a starter. You know he's better as a starter than he is out of the pen, and he was damn good out of the bullpen in 2018. Freddie yeah. Peralta, I think, has the opportunity. I said this last year, and then I looked like a swami when he came in and then ended up blowing it once he got in a second time. I think he's a back end of the bullpen kind of guy with that kind of stuff.
He could be, and that's what they may have in mind.
But your boy David Phelps is staying in the back end of that bullpen.
And we're going to hear from David Phelps a little bit later on during the show. We had a nice conversation about the Chicago Cubs, and it really is a fun situation to hear from him. But, guys, I will tell you this. Sometimes having options in the game of baseball hurts you. Having minor league options hurts you. And that's where Freddie Peralta and Corbin Burnes comes in. Is it possible to not risk losing a Shelby Miller, that one of those guys is optioned down and does not break camp with the squad?
If one doesn't break camp, it's probably Corbin Burnes.
I would think, but if guys, there's still a couple of weeks left, and he's, I would imagine, going to have three more outings. If he continues to do this, talking about Corbin Burnes, what do you do then? I mean, it's a good problem to have. Don't get
That's
me wrong.
That's for sure. No
yeah,
doubt
Craig,
about it.
Craig Counsell earlier today talked exactly about Corbin Burnes.
Yeah, I think he's just confident in what he's doing. Pretty clear plan for him. He's really bought into it, so he knows what he wants to do. He knows his kind of options pitch to pitch, and that's a good feeling for a pitcher to have out there.
Yeah, and we're going to find out. The plot thickens with this rotation. Again, Eric Lauer, the shoulder impingement is going to limit him from, well, breaking camp in the rotation. And he, again, has options. So let's keep that in mind as well. We'll see what happens. Now, finally, the coronavirus, and a lot of conversations have been going on about
oh,
this.
Yeah.
And it does relate to life, obviously. To society as a whole. It relates internationally and, of course, nationally here in the States. We're seeing mass audience sporting events canceled. We're seeing changes, and this is well documented here in the last 24 hours. Media access has been limited. And you wonder, you know, less is a little more safe. So are they being 100% protective, as we talked about earlier today on Bill Michaels' show, Billy, that, you know, you could slice and dice this, you know, with regards to, well, we all set our recorders 3 feet in front of Craig Counsell's
yeah.
face. But it's limiting the access, I think, which is a safety effort as well.
And Mike Clemens, who's been in a million locker rooms, and Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal earlier today when we talked about it on the big show, said the same thing. And both of them had the concerns of once you give this taste to the organizations and also give the taste to the Players Association of this kind of limited access, when does it come back? And does it ever get back to the level that it was? Because, I mean, it's pretty imperative for not only the jobs that we do, but also for the access that fans want and crave. And that's the part of this yeah. that, you know, Mike brought it up, and frankly, I didn't necessarily think about it. He said, this is a great chance that they try to keep this now as the new norm. And that's where I think the biggest fear for me comes into it.
I love giving and hearing, not just us or me in the clubhouse. I love to hear that on a national scale, being inside the Vikings locker room and getting
yeah.
the latest on Zimmer and the gang in the North. And, It's when the Brewers are on the road and having access inside the club. It's all of those things. I miss that, too. I will miss that. That will be limited. You limit the amount of people in the clubhouses and locker room, you're going to limit the amount of connection to the audience. And I'm a little fearful of that myself, too, I got to admit.
Because once you get a taste, and that's the only part of this that I'm thinking, once you get the taste of not having to – and frankly – Let's not say it this way. Craig Counsell was talking about it, saying, guys, this is part of the job. I know
yeah.
it is. And we joke about it with managers as well. They have to talk to the media twice a day, twice, before the game and after, every single day, pretty much every single day for a six-month span. They're talking to reporters and asking questions. There's a level of respect. There's a level of understanding. But there's also a level of, now that we got these guys out of here, let's figure out how to a way to keep this locked down. Let's figure out a way to not have these dudes coming in here the day before the game while I'm trying to get ready, coming up here asking me about the game last night. There's a big part of that, Tim, that I think is going to be discussed, especially with the CBA coming up. And the CBA, Collective Bargaining Agreement for the Players Association, the MLB Players Union has been one of the strongest unions, not only in pro sports, in all of America.
For sure.
For the better part of the last two decades. It's one of the historically strongest unions in the country. You're going to tell me that this isn't going to come up in conversations next year?
Well, so I think there was Josh Hader.
I also think there was a little bit of posturing as well in this as to the major leagues and MLB saying, well, we're not going to pick our battle here. And let's make sure that we cut this thing off at the head and give the not impression, because they are trying to protect their product and protect their players. But let's make sure that we let these guys know that we're thinking of them before ourselves and our pocketbooks.
And we asked Josh Hader this morning, how is it in there without us knuckleheads? Yeah, I mean, I get it. That's a fraternity in there. That's a brotherhood in there. And we're... we're embarking on into their territory.
Right. And
we
it's
are.
Not.
And it's okay. It's
right.
All right.
Because, Tim, it's not only that, they don't want to go and talk to Tim and Billy. They don't want to talk to Todd Rosiak.
Right.
Think about it this way, okay? Those guys spend 6 months out of the year, better part of 8 months out of the year, and they become really, really good friends. You're hanging out with your buddies, right? You're hanging out at somebody's house that you're always over at. You're always doing whatever, playing video games, whatever you guys do in your free time. And all of a sudden, now three guys' parents come in. And they'll be in there for about an hour.
And they tap on your shoulder and
say, hey,
want to talk to you.
Can we talk real quick? I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, there's part of that
right.
that you just, you have to understand and you have to be cognizant of. Yes, it's a part of the job. Is it a fun part of the job? No.
To some, no. Right.
For most, no. But when it comes to the ability to get information out to the fans, Leroy was really open with it and saying, man, I hate it. You're going to tell me that this is how you're going to stop the spread of coronavirus is by keeping the media out there, out of here? Like, that's going to stop us from getting sick?
It will, I guess. I mean, if you're splitting hairs, it will limit the possibility of it, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you believe that media guys are coming in contracting diseases, but there's also the standpoint that Mike Clemens said, how many different times do you see a media guy coming in there, whether it's a writer or something, go
absolutely, absolutely.
Sniffing and,
yes.
and he goes, dude, go home. What
yeah.
are you doing?
Yeah.
No, I got to get this sound. I'll send you the cuts. I'll send you the audio.
Right.
Get out of here, because not only do we not want to get sick, but Tim, I've always believed this, and it's one of the reasons why I got into the business. We are one of the, and this does not mean to sound braggadocious, because I know it does, and it kind of sounds arrogant, but what we do is a commercial for the teams that we cover. And ultimately, it's the biggest platform to be able to continue a conversation that people are having during the day at the water cooler about their favorite team. But we're also a commercial for the players as well. And,
right.
and some guys understand that. Some guys don't, and rightfully so. I get that. But for the most part, these guys in this clubhouse know that we have a job to do. They respect it and also understand how it can help them as well.
It's just really on a personal note, and for the fan radio station as a whole, I think it's quite fascinating, guys, that we're caught in the story.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We're trapped in the story. I mean, this isn't me sitting at home, you know, letting the dogs out in the back so I can hear new news on the coronavirus affecting sports. I mean, we're caught in the story. We had to go right down here in front of us at American Family Fields of Phoenix, and we had to go through a different process, and that's okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just quite fascinating. It's absolutely interesting
right.
to me.
It really is. And
yeah.
you know what, too? We were talking about it with Mike Vassallo, PR director for the Brewers here, and he's done it for a long time. He's really, really good at what he does. We just said, man, this has got to be challenging for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. And it's challenging for everybody because it's new and it's fresh. And ultimately, it's ever-changing. And that's the part of it that is fascinating, because I still believe that we have not even come close to the finish line with where this is going and how it's going to evolve.
Yeah, it seems to be accelerating. Let's get the latest information from Craig Counsell just a few hours ago, talking exactly about this, the relationship between the coronavirus and, in this case, his baseball team.
You know, I think the more important thing is that everybody's trying to get it right. And that I'm talking from the league's perspective, really, more. I think they're trying to get it right. Do we know what exactly the right thing to do in this situation is? I don't think any of us can say that. I certainly don't. So we're going to have to be a little flexible here, be a little uncomfortable, get out of our normal routines. And you know, it doesn't put you guys in a great spot. We completely understand that. I don't know if this is the right decision completely. Or are we fixing everything? No, we're not going to fix things, but that's everything by all the steps we take here. But I think leagues are trying to exercise caution. How far to take the precaution? Right, that's the. Nobody knows the answer to that question, right? And we're seeing different organizations take it to different levels. I guess we'll look back and say who was right, but I don't have the answer to who's going to be right in this thing. But I think precaution is what everybody's trying to get right.
Has the league notified you, the organization, of any potential additional changes?
No. I'm not involved in the conversations. I get a memo on my desk. That's what I get. Yeah, and then we have a discussion about it. So the league is it's being handled at a higher level than in our clubhouse. That's for sure. Yeah. Frankly, it's been handled at a higher level than the league is handling this, is what I would say. Major League Baseball is guiding us, is what I'd say. I think that's the best way to say it.
It's very well said by Craig.
It is.
Very well said, because really, I mean, we're all learning about it as the situation and more information comes out. And, I mean, just look at us in the state of Wisconsin as well. Now 3 confirmed cases of the coronavirus as well, 2 in Dane County. And, I mean, this has got the country of Italy basically on lockdown. Mm-hmm. Like, UWM just extended their spring break a week because of the coronavirus and the threat of it. So, I mean, like, there are measures being taken across the country that are far bigger than keeping the media out of a clubhouse.
For
but
sure.
You also have to think about it this way. It's changing the way people do their jobs each and every day.
And we all have to adjust to it because it's precautionary measures. And what are you going to do, argue with it?
Being right, safe? No doubt about it.
Yeah, you can't
Timmy,
do that.
I don't want to be a slap here.
Yep.
But how great does this grass smell as they're cutting it here at American Family Fields of Phoenix? Like, if this doesn't scream right. Springtime, what else does? I mean, the wind is blowing, so we're getting the whiffs right up here. Had to close the window just a little bit in the broadcast booth so the wind's not smacking against the microphone.
Yes.
But it is just amazing getting these smells and knowing how close we are to opening day at Miller Park about 2 weeks away.
Took the cover off the grass at Miller Park, and if you've gone to the restaurant to be named later, formerly Fridays, then you know that it's they're getting prepped up and ready to go for the 2020 championship season, and we're getting you ready too. American Family Fields of Phoenix, broadcasting live here. Tim and Tausch, spring training takeover. Bobby Wall pitched in today's game, another Brewers victory, by the way. Yeah, a little bump in the road, just a solo shot. Someone guessed right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the Tim Allen curse.
We're going to hear from Bobby Wall, the Brewers'
right-handed reliever.
Sure. Lucas Ursig the other day.
Yeah, you go and talk to him and immediately get sent down. That makes sense.
That's it. A lot more to get to, and Eric Lauer no longer in the running.
Oh, yeah, didn't you guys just have a conversation too?
No longer in the running.
Got
to
it.
Be in the rotation as camp breaks.
How about you stay away from Woodruff?
More next here, Spring Training Live
and
on The
Yelich.
Fan.
You're listening to Spring Training Live with Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid on The Fan.
Anybody else you want to mention there?
Yeah, Narvaez, stay away from him. How about Jed Jerko, stay away from him. Justin Smoke, I'd rather you not talk to him as well.
Hell, even the thought of interviewing Ethan Small got him sent out.
Yeah, and Craig Council, Manager of the Year, you get to talk to him each and every year. No wonder the guy hasn't won Manager of the Year award. So you stay right away from the David Stearns interview we get tomorrow up here in the broadcast booth at 4:30.
Yeah, I'll steer clear of that.
I'm not even going to joke about that.
Welcome back. It's Spring Training Live 2020. Tim and Tausch here at American Family Fields of Phoenix. As the Brewers were in surprise today, they get the victory. Brandon Woodruff, that's a key to that. Although Josh Hader did pitch in today's game, much better performance than he had a few days ago against the Oakland A's. He did allow a man to reach on a drop third. But outside of that, pretty good inning and outing for Josh Hader. Bobby Wall, on the other hand, he did give up a solo home run. I like Bobby Wall, and just for makeup reasons, it's not necessarily the numbers. And by the end of the week, we are going to break down that that bullpen, because the bullpen now, the more you look at it, the more there are some battles in that bullpen.
Well, and there's a lot of questions too. I mean, especially right-handed guys. I think left-handed, they're pretty well set. They got Hader, Suter, and Claudio. Those guys are going to factor into the situation all year long. But the right side of it, and when do we see Corey Knable? You also stay away from him. But as you start to try to get yourself back to the normalcy of the back end of the bullpen, Josh Hader, is that in the ninth inning? Or ultimately, do they want Corey in the back end of the bullpen? Because we talked to David Phelps, and you're going to hear that coming up here shortly on Spring Training Live. But he mentioned both of those guys' names closing games. So there's an understanding of who are going to be the guys to finish out. But who's going to be able to bridge the gap night in and night out, that's definitely to be determined.
Yeah, and they're looking for obvious
one of them's going to be reasons. Peralta or Burns.
Well, and they need the JJ guy. They need the Jeremy Jeffress dude. They do.
That's Phelps to me.
Well, and I think it might be Bobby Wall. I do. It was a non-arm injury. And that's what puts me in this guy's camp. Not necessarily the numbers, but he's one of those modern-day kind of relievers. Throws hard, late in games, got a little movement on him, and it's going to be interesting. I just think that the dialing in the right combination for this bullpen, I think it could be deadly again. I do. But it needs the Jeffress from 18. You remember Jeremy Jeffress setting up the boys in the back, the electric dudes?
Yep, he was another one of those firemen that would come out and put out a fire if it was the fifth inning or the ninth inning.
I don't know who it is quite yet. It could be Phelps, could be Bobby Wall, but I'm leaning Bobby Wall's way. And as a matter of fact, let's hear from the Brewers' right-handed reliever, Bobby Wall. We had a conversation just a short time ago.
Inside the Brewers Clubhouse, American Family Fields of Phoenix, Spring Training Live 2020, Tim Allen with Brewers right-hander Bobby Wall. Bobby, nice to meet you. Didn't get an opportunity to chat last year for obvious reasons, but thanks for the time.
Yeah, of course. Good meeting you too, man. Yeah, looking forward to it.
You're all healthy. You come back from the injury, and it appears everything's smooth sailing.
Yep. Oh, so far, so good, man. Feeling really good. Ball's coming to my hand pretty well right now, and just looking to build off each outing and take it into the season, so feeling good.
You're one of the, I won't say new breeds of relievers, but sort of a trend in baseball, and that is just hard throwing gas late in games.
Yeah, I guess so. I really like my four seam fastball and my breaking ball, and try to pair the two as best as I can. And we have a lot of guys here that do similar things, so it's kind of easy to have teammates that know what they're doing and kind of bounce ideas off of them, and how to pitch certain guys. So definitely have a really good great group of relievers here, and definitely help each other out.
Council a few years ago, when it was Jeffress and Knable and Hader and these guys, He called them the electric dudes, and it's just because that's what they were. But he has continued that trend here with just a collective team effort in that bullpen. It's been pretty amazing to see.
Absolutely. I mean, the stuff, I mean, if you just look at the pure stuff that our bullpen has, you know, top to bottom, it is pretty electric. I mean, we got guys that are have some of the best stuff in baseball, in my opinion. So, really, really nasty pen that we have.
When you got traded, walk me through that feeling. How was that?
It was easier because it was my second time being traded. I got traded at the deadline from the A's to the Mets. The first time was tough, but then you kind of learn, you know, how to approach being in a new clubhouse, new guys, all that kind of thing. So the first time being traded, it helped me out for this one.
I would be, now this is just me, I'd be kind of pissed at times, honestly. I would be.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You can look at it that way, but for me, it's, you look at the positive. You know, you look at the thing like, okay, you know, another team really, really wants me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good thing to, you know, to be a part of, is a team that wants you and values you for... Excuse me. Who you are as a, you know, a person and as a pitcher. So, got to look at it that way, I guess.
See, always looking at the positive. Bobby Wall, instead of, you know, the exiting team, you look at the team that wants you. Yeah. Have you pitched in Miller Park before?
Not in the big leagues, but I actually did in low A as a member of the Beloit Snappers. They do a game against the Appleton team every year, and I was part of that in 2014. So. Yeah. I've been able to. I didn't get to pitch there, but I actually had to chart in the stands because I was a starter at the time. So I had to sit in the stands and enjoy a game. Didn't even get to be in the dugout or anything. But yeah, I've been to Miller Park before. It's an awesome place, and you know, I'm really looking forward to getting there.
Talking to Bobby Wall here, just a couple of more questions here. Have you noticed the whole launch, and you're old enough, the whole launch angle era, and is that good for the game? Because now we're seeing the new reliever role. That's, you're going to play a part in that, in that game. But was that really healthy? And I'm not sure it was.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you look at it. You know, some guys really, really value the home run, and some guys don't. You know, it really just depends. It's an organization-to-organization type thing. So, it honestly, I think it varies from team to team.
Yeah. Okay, so this team here, offensively, slapping the ball all over the place, it appears to me. Yeah, no Grandal, no Moustakas, so some thump is lost, but I think there's a little more contact, a little more on base.
Yeah, I mean, our lineup, top to bottom, is pretty ridiculous. I mean, we have one of the best hitters, if not the best hitter in baseball, best player in baseball. So, anytime you have that guy, it's you're in for a good season. And you know, I think we have the pieces that you know, can make for really, really good offense.
Bobby, final thing: Brewers fans, you're gonna love them. They packed the stadium, 35,000 on a Tuesday night. Okay, what team can do that? Yeah, it's awesome. What are they going to learn about Bobby Wall that really nobody expected? I mean, are you a collector of something? Are you a pet owner? Are you a dog guy? What is it? You play guitar? What is
it? No, I'm not musically gifted at all. I like hot sauce. That's something I kind of like. If I go to place, if I see a hot sauce, like a local one, I'll definitely try it.
Okay.
So maybe that's like a unique fact about me, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. One of our sponsors is going to send over some hot sauce for you.
Can't wait. All right. Let's do it.
Bobby, thanks.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there he is, Bobby Wall, the Brewers' right-handed reliever.
Are you going to lock up that endorsement deal, or do I got to call Govatovic?
Yeah, some sort of hot sauce over for Bobby. You know...
What were you going to say? Were you hoping that he said that he was a Boy Scout like you, or a college bowler, or what?
Or a marginal musician.
Or enjoyed a couple of Marb Lights on his way out every once in a while?
Yeah, that too.
Actually, Tim, I smoke cigarettes. I mean, you want to go burn one? I can smell it on you.
In between the lines, you never know. You know what?
Oh, 100%.
I've been snowed by this before, and I've learned over the years that the mental makeup, the demeanor of some of these nasty bullpen guys, don't go by the interview. Go by his actions, his look on the field.
Yes.
Because you do that, Bobby Wall is way too nice to go 2-2 and freeze a guy in the inside corner with two on late in the game. He's too nice of a guy, but we don't know that until he gets out there.
There's a different intensity that you have when you're on the mound. You're going to hear Josh Hader. We had a conversation with him earlier today. Guy's amazing. But just like when you're talking about that, You ask him the question. There's 40,000 people in the stands. Two on, two out. You're up one, trying to close out against the Cubs. What's that feeling like? You can only describe it to people, and it only carries so much weight. Once you're in those positions, once you're in that opportunity, then you kind of know how your body reacts.
I laughed at his answer.
Yeah, I did too. But like some of it also comes into, Tim, it can be very, very different for different guys. And also some of the best, you can lose it pretty quickly too.
Yeah, you can. And things can snowball on you. And I think for the most part, you need that nasty out there on the back end of bullpens in Major League Baseball this year. The nice guys, the Brent Suters, the Bobby Walls.
Jared Hughes.
They do it. They do it not only physically, but they do it with their smarts, too. They do. There's
good
different
point.
Ways to get it done. Some are just mad. Look at the look on Jeremy Jeffress. I don't know why I'm talking about him so much, but JJ, the look on his face back in the day.
You're
when
just
he
disappointed
was,
he's a Cub now?
Very. Yeah, very. And I hope he doesn't put things together.
Him and HB?
I wish him success in his career, but not this year and not against the Brewers.
Until he gets traded back to the Brewers, you're going to wish him success on his career.
But that's really, really the only spot in his career he's had success.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Absolutely. I mean, he was a benchmark for the Brewers and a former number one pick of the team and went through a lot of trials and tribulations himself. And that's also a part of it. It can be cliche, but the experiences that these guys have had along the way make them the players that they are here today.
David Phelps did pitch in a Cubs uniform, and he's going to tell you what it was like after playing against the Brewers. We have that coming
That's
up.
Fun.
Also, the story about our little trip to Surprise. We never did, Austin, Texas, and I. We never did get to Surprise for the ball game.
You never got to talk to Vern?
No, and there was a little mishap on the way.
Did Vern come bail you out?
The authorities, if you will, were involved a little bit, and it was interesting.
That's for sure.
We'll have that for you.
And we got some audio from it too, which is if ladies and gentlemen, Tim Allen, right, the franchise, everybody loves Tim. He's one of the nicest guys. Frankly, he's my mentor. I say that pretty open and honestly. I would not be in the position that I'm in without Tim. But this dude has a sadistic sense of humor that any opportunity he can. This guy's always got a little white recorder that whenever at the time anything gets tough, anything gets a little testy,
no,
as you could
entertaining.
Say, boom, hit
Anytime
record.
Anytime it gets entertaining.
Entertaining, yeah, yes. Yeah, sure. That's a good way to put it.
Trying to do good radio, and that stuff is great radio.
Well,
at times.
We'll see exactly how well it plays on the radio because Mitch is still in town, so he might not love it too much. But hey. That's why you get insurance.
David Phelps, another guy in that bullpen. We will have him for you coming up. Eric Lauer as well. As we talked about, just if you missed the news today, Eric Lauer no longer in the running to break camp in the rotation. A shoulder impingement, which will limit his activities a little bit and put him behind the curve. We'll have that and a lot more coming up. Tim and Tausch, our buddy Austin, Texas, is here as well, live at American Family Fields of Phoenix. Brewers beat the Royals today. Another Cactus League victory. Brandon Woodruff goes four innings, strikes out five, allows just the one run. Josh Hader, a scoreless inning in that ball game as well. We'll be back at spring training live here on The Fan.
It's your chance to hear the latest from Brewers spring training with Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid. And spring training live on The Fan.
Welcome back live here at American Family Fields of Phoenix. Tim and Tausch in spring training live 2020, the championship season, 2 weeks from Thursday. Pending any major changes amongst mass audience sporting events due to the coronavirus. And we're, you know, crossing our fingers that they, the CDC, infectious disease control, gets a grasp on this and takes care of it just in life in general. But then, you know, it trickles down to all facets of life. And you never know what's going to happen. A little bit later on, and give you Craig Counsell's thoughts again on his statement today on that. So stick around for that. Stick around for Eric Lauer, the Brewers left-hander acquired in the San Diego Padres trade that sent Zach Davies and Trent Grisham to the Padres for Luis Urias, the middle infielder, and Eric Lauer in, you know, early in camp here this year. It was announced that Freddie Peralta and Eric Lauer, just a head-to-head battle for the five spot, and it surprised me on that. We'll hear from Eric Lauer coming up in a little while. Right now, we'll hear from right-hander David Phelps. Going to be, I won't say a lock in that bullpen, or is he a lock in that bullpen?
David Phelps is a lock in that bullpen. I mean, I would say that just about as confidently as I can. For what they need at the right-handed spot, there's a reason why they brought him in. And frankly, Tim, he's had a lot of suitors across the country. I thought it was a big pickup when they got him simply because of the issues that I knew they were going to have on the right side in that bullpen, and he's definitely going to be able to come in shored up. Brought in from the Royals last year to the Cubs, and he was a stabilizing force in that pen from them towards the end of the year, while, albeit, you know, I know this is so sad, but that team from the north side missed the playoffs last year.
They did, and we're not crying a river because of
that. No, never will.
But David Phelps, interesting guy, and just those of you that are Brewers fans, just true and true like us.
It's an amazing baseball conversation. If this doesn't bring you a lot of joy as a Brewer fan, I don't know.
I love it. And you guys know, listening to the postgame show over the years, that it's just a sweeter victory against the Chicago Cubs for a lot of reasons. I mean, not just the win-loss record, not just you're trying to beat another team, just because of where we are in proximity, because of the Wrigley North thing. There's many, many reasons. Because of their fans, a lot of the angst has to do with their fans. But David Phelps gave us some insight that we kind of didn't know as of late. And this was recent. This wasn't going back to the Aramis Ramirez Cubs. This is going back to last year. It's interesting. That and more in this conversation with Brewers right-hander David Phelps.
American Family Fields of Phoenix, Spring Training Live 2020. It is David Phelps. David, welcome to Milwaukee.
No, thanks for having me. It's been a good start so far. Just, you know, excited to get, I would say, to better weather, but I don't know if we're necessarily going to get that when we get up to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah. You get to play games. That's
exactly
the biggest one.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
that playing in the Midwest. You get to play games.
Yes, and especially with a roof, like, we get to actually play
mm-hmm.
games.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Which is great.
Everything healthy?
No, I feel great. You know, this is, it's a unique spring for me. It's the first year in, I think, since 2017 coming in that I've had, like, no restrictions whatsoever. So it's you know, it's been a good start. Obviously, the results aren't quite where we want them yet, but, you know, the arm feels great. And, just kind of trying to stick to the process and not letting, like, the results dictate, you know, how I feel about every time I go out.
I know a lot of teams are starting to do this, mm-hmm. but I think the Brewers have been on the pioneering edge of the shuttle back and forth with the relievers, and mm-hmm. now you've got the new rule coming in.
Yep.
Have you thought about that as well as the situation with the Brewers?
Yeah, I mean, throughout my career, I haven't really been a guy that's been like a righty or lefty specialist. Last year, my numbers were skewed a little bit, but like I've had pretty even splits. The beginning part of my career, I was kind of reverse splits. I was better against lefties and righties, and then the last couple, it's been a little bit more even. But, you know, I don't view myself as a guy that, you know, I only get righties out or I only get lefties out, so the rule doesn't really bother me. I mean, it bothers me in a sense that, like, I don't think it's all that necessary.
Right.
But, you know, as far as the guys we have in this room, we have the ability to get guys out in a lot of different ways. I think Craig does a really good job of putting his relievers in positions to have success. And I don't think that rule is going to change that.
So all of us on the outside are just infatuated with finding out about this pitch lab and mm-hmm. seeing the cameras behind the mound,
yep.
seeing all the numbers that you get.
Yeah.
For you being in the game for so long, mm-hmm. are there certain ones you lean on and try to look at those kind of numbers and some that you push to the side?
No, yeah, I think the the interesting thing about it is, if we wanted everyone to see what was going on in the lab, we'd invite you guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it does give us an advantage to kind of keep it close to the chest. But yeah, there are definitely numbers that, you know, you go in and you're a little bit more focused on. Obviously, myself, like you said, I've been in for a decent number of years now, and so the game is just changing. It's not like when you go with scouting reports, it's not just, okay, we're going fastballs away and off speed off of it anymore. It's like, You know, you find out like what guys can handle the ball up in the zone, what guys struggle down in the zone, and also how your stuff plays at those spots.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it's the biggest thing isn't necessarily about like, you know, oh, this is about pitch development. This is about like changing what you do. It's trying to take what you do and make it better, like trying to make you a better version of yourself. And I think that's, you know, they do a great job of that here.
Right-hander David Phelps, our guest here. And David, but some, on the other hand, though, being an old school guy a little bit. Some of you guys don't want to get overkilled with information. It's just sort of a feel thing. Maybe you take a look at some video here and there.
No, I think there's definitely a healthy balance. But at the same time, like, if you're not taking all the information and all that we have to offer, like, and using it, you know, you're just doing a disservice to yourself, because I mean it's being shown like in this game, like if you're not willing to try or, you know, use it to get better, like you're gonna get passed by. Like, I mean, it's, you look at it in this room alone, we have a number of young arms that are just dominant, like impact arms, just waiting. And I think that's the biggest thing is like we have, you know. And it's just baseball in general, man. I think when I broke in, like, average fastball velocity was 90, 91. Now it's closing in on 95. And I think it's just, you know, there are ways that guys are training that it's just making your arm more efficient. It's making your arm, you know, just quicker. And I think that's, you know, that's part of what's going on in the lab, part of what guys do in the off season. And if you're not taking advantage of that, it's just, I mean, you better have really good stuff.
When you talk about the fastball, somebody who's got a big one and an electric one is Hader.
Yeah.
What have you seen from him just being around him, being in the pen, seeing that ball pop through?
And I mean, obviously seeing him on the other side as well, you know, playing against him. But it's just, what's amazing is when you see him in the game and it looks like it's a violent delivery. But, like, when you see him on a daily basis and you realize, like, it's not violent. Like, that's what makes it that much more impressive is just, it's his ability to repeat it and just, I mean, he essentially does it with one pitch, which is just amazing.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, like I said when I signed, when I was getting interviewed, like, I played with a guy in New York who did it with one pitch, and, like, the similarities are striking. I mean, obviously, Mo did it a little bit with more with command and with his cutter, and Josh just overpowers guys completely, but it's just, I mean, from, you know, playing in Chicago last year and seeing, it's like, when he came in the game, it was just like, well, like, we'll see you tomorrow.
It was wraps, yeah.
No, that's what it is. I mean, that's, I think one thing that, like, is, you know, his value to a bullpen and to a pitching staff is just incredible. Just because he's not just a closer. He's not, you know, just a lefty. He's, like, you know, and the way he was used early in his career where he was, like, legitimately a fireman, where he came in, like, in any big spot, like, it's just put out the fire. And just, like, the success that he's had is just incredible. I mean,
well, that's why guys like you and Corey and the guys, Bobby, and the guys surrounding Josh to unleash him whenever, wherever is just amazing. It's pretty cool to watch.
No, and absolutely. I think that's, you know, as a unit down in the bullpen, it's like whoever's pitching the ninth, whether it be Josh, whether it be Corey, whether it be any of us, like, our job is to get the ball to that person and give them a chance to close out a ball game for us. And I think it's one thing that obviously they preach here and that, you know, I'm fully bought into is, like, it's not about, like, what role you're pitching in. It's just, you know, we have 27 outs to get, and we're just trying to figure out where we fit in that equation. Whether it's the first out or the last out, like, as long as it ends in a W, it doesn't matter where you pitch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now you played, you talked about New York, talked about Chicago a little bit last year. Coming into this clubhouse, this camaraderie, what's different?
It's, I think, like I said, I saw it in Chicago. Like, this, the Brewers would come into town, and, like, you go through scouting reports, you go through, like, you know, you see the way the game's played, and, like, you walk back into the clubhouse after you've lost, and you're just like, I mean, yeah, there's incredible talent in this clubhouse, but it's just like, there's so many nights where, like, yeah, we, you know, we just lost 3 out of 4, or we got swept. It's like, how did it happen? Like, it's like, because it's not like, you know, this team, it's just, they gel so well together, and, like, that's what you see with teams that are really close-knit, is as the season progresses, you don't have fractions, you don't have this, like, it's, and that's one of the things we preach here, is, like, you're not playing with someone, you're playing for someone. And I think that's one of the things, like, you see it play out as the season goes on. And, like, as, you know, the run they went on in September, like, it shows that, like, the guys are fully in on that.
We've talked about it a lot on the postgame, Tim, where Craig came in when he first got the job. Mm-hmm. It stuck with him and I that he said, we're going to be better teammates. Yeah. And ever since then, you've seen that in this locker room with this culture.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think it speaks volumes to the guys they brought in. I mean, I can obviously speak firsthand on Yelly, playing with him in Miami. And just like, not just the quality of baseball player, but the quality of person. And you look around the clubhouse in general, and that's what it is. It's not just, I mean, we have incredible talent here, but it's good guys. And like, it's guys that like playing together. It's like guys that like playing for each other. And it's his coaching staff as well. It's like, you know, one of the things that you preach, you got, you know, 25 guys, 40 guys on a 40-man, and it's, you can't be individuals. Like, it has to be a family, and I think Craig does a really good job of that. And it all starts with his communication. And, I mean, he, like, from first meeting of spring until even now, like, it's just his message hasn't wavered.
Is that the reputation, though, that the Brewers under Council and Stearns have around the league?
No, absolutely. And I think, and that's kind of what I was talking about with, like, you walk back to the clubhouse after they beat you, and it was like, you know, you can't figure out what it is. You can't really put your finger on it. And I think another one of the things we talk about is, like, you know, having the other team, like, feel your presence. And, like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's not something like with what you do with the bat or what you do on the mound. It's just that, like, this team has an air about them that, like, the togetherness that's in here, like, everyone feeds off it. And I think that's, you know, you can't put your finger on it as an opposing player playing against the Brewers, but, like, hearing Craig talk about it, I'm just like, you could not be more spot on. And, like, especially, like, feeling it on the other side is, like, your guys have bought in, because, like, now I've even talked to him about this, like, we as the Cubs felt that. We couldn't figure out what it was, but now hearing you articulate it, like, that's exactly what it is.
That's awesome.
That's interesting.
Send shivers down my spine as a Brewer fan. Growing up the whole life, I mean, it's a different atmosphere. And playing football, you see guys, you know, they try the different moxie of bringing the wood and all this other stuff. Sometimes it's just innate.
No, exactly.
A family.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be like, so, I mean, obviously, yeah, a lot of teams I've played for, like, we have a motto of the year. And it's like, it doesn't have to be something like we wear on a shirt.
Right.
You know, because when it comes to a shirt, like, you take it on, you put it on. Like, this is something that the guys that have been here, like, they live it. And that's just, I mean, it's really impressive.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Looking forward to having more conversations with you, David Phelps, as you brought in here, be a key cog in that bullpen. And we appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
One of my favorite interviews, honestly, Billy, that I've ever done.
Yeah, that was amazing. And a lot of it because of the wealth of baseball knowledge that David Phelps has. And, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you listen to him talk like that. He's been around. He understands the magnitude of getting another chance in the big leagues. But also, you know, he talks about Mariano Rivera when we're talking about Josh Hader. And then touches upon what the feelings were like in the Cubs clubhouse. He's got so much experience in this league that can really only be quantified by the amount of teams that he's played with. I mean, he's gotten an opportunity to be with how many different clubs? Not a lot of guys get those opportunities, and they're still coming for David Phelps, rightfully so, because he's pitching at a different level in his career now as he did early on.
The credibility of his opinion is so high because for a couple of reasons. Number one, as you said, the veteran status, but he hasn't even pitched in a Brewer game yet. I'm saying a regular season game. And he was conveying the message about this team from the vantage point of the opponent. And that's why people tend to look at the analytics. They tend to look at the names on the backs of the jerseys. They tend to look at the competitors, you know, toe-to-toe against the Brewers. And they say, well, the Brewers aren't going to do anything. Well, under Craig Counsell and that philosophy, there's an air about them. And I love the line that he said, you feel that team.
Yeah, you know, they wear on you as well. And that's one of those things, too, that the better teammate comment from Counts, I thought was so indicative of the kind of player that he was. He was the guy that I was going to do anything I could do to win the game. And understandably so, he was not the most talented player on that team.
No.
Because they were loaded with big-time young stars. Even go back to the two World Series titles that he won. he was going to find a way to factor in and end up putting his two cleats down on home plate and scoring the winning run.
That's why I find it hard to believe that a Craig Council-led team will not be some form of successful. However you define that, whether it's, you know, okay, fine. We all want to win the World Series. But in terms of, you know, the last couple of years, NLCS, you make the playoffs again, you punch your ticket in two consecutive years, second time that's ever been done. You have an opportunity here under Craig Council in his short time here as manager to do something this organization in 50 years has never done before, and that's punch your ticket to the postseason, three consecutive games.
Three consecutive seasons.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable.
And we wondered...
It's also kind of sad.
It is sort of sad, yes. I agree.
I mean, the first time in 50 years you could make three straight trips to the World Series, or the playoffs, not even the World Series. You'd like to get one, but it speaks to how difficult it is to make the postseason in baseball. It also shows the intelligence of David Stearns and the rest of this group, but David Stearns in particular, because he was given Craig Council.
He was, and
then
he stuck
said,
with him.
I'm going to stick with him, and I'm going to make it work because I can tell this dude knows what he's doing, and these guys play for him.
Yep.
And now he's the longest tenured manager in the National League.
We wondered Craig Council's first press conference as manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. When he made that comment, you alluded to, the we're going to be better teammates. We wondered, or at least I did, at that time, it's one of two things. It's either there's some heavy-duty problems in that clubhouse.
Yes.
And he wants to clean them up. Or two, that's his philosophy moving forward, regardless of who's in the clubhouse. We know the answer to that now.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter who's in there. Yeah. We're all going to be better teammates.
Also love the comment from Phelps saying we're not just playing with other players, we're playing for our teammates. I mean, that is huge.
And it's very similar to how football teams are constructed, and I think that's one of the parts of it that have made me even more of a fan of this group in particular, because you can achieve great things when the camaraderie is the way it is in this park.
I don't know how that works, but it's true.
It's innate. You can't necessarily always describe it, but I've been on some teams, Tim, that were incredibly talented, but finished with average records.
Yep.
But I've also played with guys who were, you know, average talent-wise players, but the guys around them made them work harder and became really, really good players, all conference-type players. And that ends up becoming how you breed success in a program.
So now the naysayers hearing this conversation, oh, yeah, the love fest for your baseball team. Hey, until they're proven wrong here under Craig Council's leadership and philosophies, well, then we're going to stick with this because they've earned that. They've earned that reputation.
And yeah, they have.
We're going to talk to Craig Council in the next day or two, and we're going to ask him that question. What kind of reputation, you know, would you like to have? What kind of legacy, living legacy, would you like to have as manager of the Brewers for your team, for your organization? I wonder what he'll say to that. It's probably respect. I mean, there's a lot of things. Never know. Craig Council could throw a bunch of curveballs to that answer.
I think some of it also comes down to knowing when you come to Miller Park, nothing's going to be earned. Nothing's going to be given. Uh-huh. It's going to be earned. You're going to take these games from us. That's one of my favorite parts of it.
And finally, with the conversation with David Phelps, don't let the toll booth hit you and the tailgate Cub fans when you fly down 94, get a bunch of tickets, and pay some more money on your trip to Miller Park. So
you don't want to be having anybody else have a situation that you guys had.
We had one, and we'll give you the details next.
Gory details.
I always wonder what the Cubs thought of the Brewers. Because you're going to get cliches, right? Normally you're going to get, they're a fine baseball team, and et cetera, et cetera. This was what Phelps said was, we just wondered, how are they doing this? How did this happen? That was just music to my ears, especially coming from a former Cub player last year. This was last year. This wasn't 5 years ago. We're broadcasting live here in Phoenix, Arizona, American Family Fields of Phoenix, Spring Training Live 2020, the championship season. We're getting you ready for it as the Brewers pare down their roster. Eric Lauer paired out of the starting rotation due to some injury issue, a shoulder impingement. I had a chance to talk to Eric Lauer. We'll have that and also our trouble with the law coming up as well. That's all part of Spring Training Live here in Phoenix, Tim and Taos, Austin, Texas. We're talking Brewers baseball tonight here on The Fan.
Baseball is back. The Brewers 2020 championship season is underway in Merrivale, Arizona. It's time for Spring Training Live with Tim Allen and Bill Baby Taos Schmid on The Fan.
And welcome back. It's hour number two of tonight's edition of Spring Training Live 2020 after the Brewers get another Cactus League victory. And you look at performances a little bit and you kind of measure it that way. Josh Hader in the ball game today, a scoreless inning. A man did reach on a drop third, and he was then
Narvaez was catching for that?
I believe so. There was a double play.
Whoops.
He did face the minimum. Josh Hader did. Brandon Woodruff. Four innings of work with five strikeouts, just a run given up. Bobby Wall in the game as well. He gave up a solo home run. Offensively, Orlando Arcia, again, continues a fine spring with a sacrifice fly RBI. And then Ronnie Rodriguez, his situation is weird. He's sort of in that Mark Mathias conversation. Are they going to go with a guy like one of those two, versatile guys? Maybe. Ronnie Rodriguez knocked in a couple of runs today as well. And, or are they going to go with a guy like Logan Morrison?
Right.
Who had a base hit today.
Well, and I think, as I've been trying to analyze that answer, Tim, I think the acquisition of Brock Holt allows you and the decision makers to take the flyer on a guy like Logan Morrison right out of the gates. Because you have Mathias, you have Ronnie Rodriguez, that's fine. You know you're going to be able to keep those guys in the organization. With a guy like Morrison, because of the versatility of Holt to play absolutely anywhere any given time, the versatility of Sogard to play anywhere at any given time, it might open the door for you to say, I want to keep that bat as my 13th position player.
I want sort of an old school Russell Branyan type. You're just going to sit the bench and wait until there's two
Russell
on.
Russell Branyan. That's a great name.
Two on and two out. It's the seventh inning. We're down 5-1.
Oh,
we need you to get us back in this game.
Do you remember when Russell Branyan hit that ball into
monster shot
into the old canoe that was out in right center from the Lining Kugels booth?
Is that the longest home run at Miller Park?
It was like 485 feet or something.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was the long, because Sosa hit one out in the 0-2 home run derby.
True.
But yeah, the longest in game I still think is Brandon when he rocked that canoe.
And they do, that's a great point, because it does allow them to have, I don't mean this in a negative way, but a one-dimensional type player, and that's Logan Morrison, right?
Yeah, you know what you get with him.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing with him. And Craig even talked about it today. Logan knows what he brings. He brings a bat. And ultimately, you have to play to your strengths. And it's another part of the reason why I've loved what they've done here is they're not asking players to do something that they're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
You're not asking players to play a different style, play a different brand of ball. Play your game, and then we'll custom fit the positions and the times to get you in and make you most valuable.
The more he continues to hit, the better the chances for him to break camp with this Milwaukee Brewers 26-man roster, new rule change. Later on this hour, we'll hear from Brewers right-hander Shelby Miller, and does he have a chance to crack the opening day roster? I asked him if things didn't break right for him, either in the rotation or in the bullpen, would he be interested in staying with the organization? He'll have that answer for you coming up in just a little while. But Eric Lauer, the news today, you get it from manager Craig Counsell.
So Eric Lauer has left shoulder impingement right now he's dealing with. He's kind of experienced it after his last start. So he's shut him down from catch for about 7 days so far. Hoping he will play catch by the end of the week. There was no need for tests or anything, or diagnostics or anything like that. It's relatively minor, but it does probably rule out the start of the season for him. So we're hoping to have him back on the field playing catch later this week. We strongly anticipate he will, but not going to be ready for the start of the season.
That is too bad for the young Brewers left-hander. I was interested to see if he did crack that rotation. There's a guy that's young, an opening day starter for the San Diego Padres last year. Yep. Does the opening day jinx cross over from team to team?
I sure hope not.
It looks like it did.
But what I will say about Lauer, and one of the reasons why I was so high on him, was because, Tim, he's played 30-some starts and pitched in 30-some games each of the last 2 years. And to be able to be that consistent, to keep yourself in the lineup with four more years of team control, it was a huge pickup for them to grab Lauer and trade that kind of control in for a Zach Davies who, yes, his ERA was tremendous last year.
But he's going to get paid soon.
But he's going to get paid, and now you're able to keep that money locked up, and also it allows you some more versatility to bring in some other different guys once the trade deadline comes and this team is still in contention.
Eric Lauer, the Brewers left-hander, in our conversation just a day or two ago.
Spring Training Live 2020, Tim Allen inside the Brewers clubhouse at American Family Fields of Phoenix with Brewers left-hander Eric Lauer. Eric, how are you, man?
Good.
That's good. Welcome to Milwaukee. Everything healthy?
Yeah, feeling good. Everything feels great.
When you came over, walk us through that process. Like, when did you get the news that you were traded, and how did you feel about it?
So I got the news. I was actually going on vacation the next day. I was leaving, so I got the news that morning, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll deal with it when I get back because I really don't have any.
Right.
I'm not going to have the necessary communication with anybody when I'm gone, so. I got the news, went on vacation, had a nice time, came back, and then I started kind of getting into the groove of things, communicating with people. I started coming in here to the complex to work out in the off season, and kind of just grew from there.
What do you think of this pitching lab they've got here?
Oh, I love it. I've done it a few times now, and I've learned a lot about myself and a lot about like my pitch design, and it's just really cool. They have a lot of really good people in there that can communicate the information well to you.
Right, but there's some pitchers that don't want to get too deep into it because they think too much.
Yeah, that's definitely a side where you kind of have to take it all with a grain of salt and figure out what you need to know and what you don't need to know and what kind of clouds things for you and what makes things clear.
Being your age, you've already been through a few seasons, and I was looking at your obvious history here with San Diego, and now you come over. And when you did get a chance to talk to Counts and Hook and these guys, did they give you a sort of game plan moving forward, or is it just the old cliche, control what I can control?
I mean, we talked about some things and what they wanted to see me develop and how they wanted to see my repertoire and pitch development kind of go. So we've been working on a few things, and I like where we're at right now. And other than that, they said just go be yourself, go do your thing, and we're going to try to help you be as good as you possibly can.
Yeah, because what's crazy in many years of doing this, Eric, they never really came out in years past and said, well, these four spots in the rotation are reserved. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know a lot can happen, and that's what Count says. You never know what's going to happen.
But yeah.
It seemed kind of puzzling to me that they just came out of the chute and said, well, these guys are in a race for the five hole.
Yeah. I mean, well, sometimes that's how it goes. I don't really have a say in that. I mean, they have guys that are veteran guys that have a lot of innings and a lot of time under their belt, and that they are in those spots. So you got to kind of make do with what you have and try to get that last one.
Eric Lauer, the guest here. Eric, what did you heard about the Brewers when you were in San Diego? I mean, they've hit the postseason window, and the last 2 years have been an exciting run here for them. What was your opinion of them from afar?
I knew they were a good club, a lot of great hitters, and a very scary offense to deal with as a pitcher. So I'm glad that I don't have to face them anymore.
Well, with Moustakas and Grandal, I get that. But now it's sort of offensively sort of a scrapping team, right?
Yeah, scrappy's good. Scrappy wins a lot of games because you're never out of the game. You're always fighting, and kind of that blue-collar mentality of, like, we're gonna be little dirtbags on the field and scrap across a couple runs. And that's what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah, I look at it this way. You break down the guys in the bullpen, and that's going to be a revolving door a little bit. Always is for every team.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys in the rotation and the offense, the versatility and the situational attack you guys can make mid to late game is going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of guys in here that can really swing the bat and put the ball in play. So I mean, I'm very excited to see, because it just makes you more confident as a pitcher to go out there and throw strikes and get out of innings quick so you can get your guys back up to bat to score you some runs.
Dude, you're going to love playing at Miller Park. They're averaging 35,000 a night. It's just been an amazing run in terms of attendance. It's going to be a blast for you.
Oh, yeah. I remember coming here when we were playing against the Brewers, and it was definitely one of those parks where you could feel the fans. You could definitely feel the fans on top of you and feel them. They're into the game. They know the game. And, I mean, they're great hometown fans to have.
All right, so you go to Kent State, and then you play baseball down there in the MAC.
Yep.
And I'm familiar with that. My son pitched for one of your opponents, NIU. Not when you were there, of course. But so I got to go with the Huskies over your Kent State.
You're going Huskies over? Well, I mean, when I was there, I don't think the Huskies ever beat us. So
hey, now.
I'll take that. I'm just kidding. No, I'll still take Kent. I'll take you in that bet.
It's a good baseball program. It is.
Oh yeah, great baseball program on both sides. They're both really good teams.
Yeah, Eric. Thanks for the time. We look forward to talking at Miller Park.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there he is, Eric Lauer, and obviously that was before the news of the shoulder injury. Or was it? Said the shoulder was feeling fine. You guys know that I always ask player, how you feeling, man? You healthy? And his, hey, feels great, feels fine. Well, no, the news today was that he doesn't feel fine. Shoulder impingement, and Eric Lauer had this to say regarding that injury.
Like you said, nothing serious. I'm hoping to play catch tomorrow and see how it feels and kind of go from there.
Craig had indicated that you've had in past springs kind of, you know, maybe similar issues or something like this, and it's maybe part of the process of getting ready for the season. So is that the case that you've had stuff like this in the past?
Yeah, it's the normal spot that I usually get sore. It's a normal, like, knot that I normally get. It's just kind of, I've been changing some things with my arm path, so I think it's just brought on a little sooner than usual and a little stronger, so just kind of working that out.
You started feeling it after your last start in the Valley?
Yeah, it was just kind of, things were starting to ramp up a little bit, and it was kind of falling behind. So just wanted to take it easy and make sure that nothing was going to keep moving forward and getting worse.
Now that it's not serious is obviously good news, but you're also in competition for, you know, a job on the opening day roster, so the timing isn't great. How do you view that?
Obviously, like, I never want to be hurt or never want to be sidelined, but I think the only thing that I can really do is try to get back as soon as possible and get ready to go for the beginning of the season, and then throw well enough to get into the rotation.
In the limited times that you did pitch, you showed well and you performed well. I mean, do you feel good about where you've gotten to, you know, how you are to this point, how you've showed for the team?
Yeah, I think my first few outings were good. I think that I showed definitely that I have value and that I can do things for the rotation. And, but obviously you want to keep going, and it's not just about showing for a couple innings that you can do it. It's about the build up and being able to go 5-6 innings. So you got to get to that point before I can actually jump in.
Right.
So if you're able to play catch tomorrow, does that put you on track then to get back on a mound? And are you not even eyeing a date for a next start yet? Just see how the next couple days go?
We haven't really discussed that as much. It's more want to see if it feels good throwing, and then in my mind I can ramp it back up pretty quickly. I think everything feels strong. It's just a matter of is that not going to release and let me do a normal throwing motion.
Is that how you
Yeah, that is really unfortunate for Eric Lauer, the newly acquired Brewers left-hander, a shoulder impingement. Is going to limit his activity for a little bit, and probably not a good bet that he would break camp with the club. Again, you go with five starting on opening day, but first time through, maybe second, third time through, you might see an Eric Lauer back up in the big leagues and in a Brewers uniform, but you feel for the guy right there. Things do happen, and Craig Counsell has warned us that you will have surprises, both good and bad, as the spring moves along. And that certainly is one of the bad ones for Eric Lauer. Shelby Miller, who is in a Brewers uniform, He was in a Cardinals uniform, and he talks about that going up against your favorite team, the Milwaukee Brewers. And still, we get to the authorities here in Phoenix. Phoenix finest had a run-in with Austin, Texan, Austin, Texas, and myself. So we'll get to that as well. All is good. It's nothing major, but just sort of, hey. It chalk it up to things happen. All that and more coming up. Tim and Taos here. It's Spring Training Live 2020 at American Family Fields of Phoenix on The Fan.
You're listening to Spring Training Live with Tim Allen and Bill Baby Taos Schmid on The Fan.
Welcome back. We're talking Brewers baseball, spring training live from Phoenix, Arizona. It's American Family Fields of Phoenix. That's where we're at now. The Brewers earlier today, they were in surprise against the Kansas City Royals. They get a victory, and Brandon Woodruff did well. Four innings and just a run allowed, five strikeouts, so it's good. Good to see him starting to get the strikeout ball working. Josh Hader, a scoreless inning. Bobby Wall does give up a solo home run. But the Brewers get the victory. Orlando Arcia knocks in another run. Logan Morrison got into the hit column. And Ronnie Rodriguez knocked in a couple of runs as well. Another Brewers victory as they go to 10-6-2 here in Cactus League action. Coming up, we'll have a little bit of fun as there's some audio and a story you're probably going to want to hear. You're wondering what the hell happened. With Austin, Texas, our producer on site here in Phoenix this year. But we'll get to that in just a second. But Shelby Miller, interesting conversation. You guys know the way I feel about the Chicago Cubs. It sort of, you know, drips a little bit into the St. Louis Cardinals as well. And don't you hate losing to the Cardinals? And just a few years ago, Shelby Miller had that Cardinals uniform on. We talked about that, among other things. Here's Shelby Miller, the Brewers right-hander.
Spring Training Live 2020, American Family Fields of Phoenix. Tim Allen inside the Brewers clubhouse with Brewers right-hander Shelby Miller. Shelby, welcome to Milwaukee, and nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
I do want to say that I have cursed your name a few times before when you were in that Cardinal uniform.
Yeah, I had the Brewers number for a little bit there in St. Louis, so...
How was that? I mean, the rivalry from the fan perspective was just off the charts. I mean, how was it from the player? I know you guys downplay it sometimes, but how was it for the player?
I mean, when I was in St. Louis, we were pretty good. So, you know, we were, you know, kind of the team to beat, I would say, at the time in NL Central. You know, and you know, we kind of played with the chip on our shoulder, knowing that, you know, we had one thing in mind, and that was to win the division. And, you know, we had a pretty good run from 12 to 14, and with the playoffs, and you know, so all in all, it was a lot of fun. You know, not only playing against Milwaukee, but the Cubs weren't as good as they are now, and you know, Pittsburgh was a little bit better than they are now. So, you know, just having that competition and going out there every day was great, and it was always a pleasure playing in Milwaukee. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, and the fans were supportive of those series too. I mean, it was a madhouse at Miller Park.
Yeah, no, I mean they always showed up. I remember you know, pitching some big series in Milwaukee and in St. Louis, because you know, Milwaukee was always kind of right there on the, you know, on the verge of making the playoffs. I think they did. Maybe, I don't know if they did as much when I was there in St. Louis, but there were some big games, you know, played in big series at Busch and at Miller Park. So. Yeah. Always a good rivalry between Milwaukee and St. Louis. I think when I was in St. Louis, I think that was probably the biggest rivalry out of all teams. And the Reds a little bit because of the Cueto era and, right, you know, the benches clearing. So a little bit there. But, you know, I'm excited to be on this side of it and, you know, potentially and hopefully face St. Louis as a Brewer this year.
Yeah, there you go. So we're talking with Shelby Miller. Shelby, so then walk us through that. So you're a Cardinal, and then it's 2012-13 range, and then you jump. There's, for many reasons, business
right.
reasons, whatever.
Sure.
Braves and Diamondbacks, and, and you scuffle a little bit. And,
no doubt.
And then what happened in that window of time? Because you were one of the better up-and-coming pitchers in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously I had a good year in Atlanta. Came over to Arizona for the first year and didn't do too well. Had a really good second half, but really, really struggled in the first half. And then 17, felt really, really solid. You know, my velocity was pretty high, and ended up getting TJ that year. And I, you know, figuring out like that was going to be my year, I was pitching pretty good through those first five games. Got hurt, came back in 18, wasn't really ready, struggled a little bit. And then last year was just kind of like my first year trying to get it under my belt, and just didn't have the best year. So, you know, things are looking forward this year for me. I'm in great shape. My arm feels fantastic. First time it's felt this good in a while. And, you know, hopefully we do some special things.
Well, and I think some people forget that you were in the Brewers organization last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was here a little bit last year. I was still kind of battling with some things like mechanical, through my mechanics, and just trying to, you know, taking those 2 years off, you kind of like, you know, lose track of really who you are, and you kind of got to reinvent yourself in a way, because you haven't pitched in 2 years on the mound. So, you know, it was kind of awkward at first, and then you're trying to, like, you know, like I said, battle your mechanics and get in that rhythm, and your arm's not feeling the best, and you're just trying to, you know, make it work the best you can. But like I said, now I feel like, you know, I really put in the work this offseason to get back to where I should be and what I can be. And I know I still can, you know, pitch to the potential that I did earlier in my career. And right now is about how I feel back then. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will. And what's interesting this year, Shelby, I got to say, and it hasn't been like this in past years. Maybe there's a changing of the guard here, and that is, you know, Craig comes out and Hook, and they announce that these four guys are in the rotation already, mm-hmm. and that was news to me in terms of, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing? Yeah. Normally it's create competition.
Sure.
You guys come back with control what you can control, yep. and you don't think about it.
Yep.
Now they put it into the hands of names in the top four, and then you're in the mix for that five, but you know you need many more than five starters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, heaven forbid nothing happens, and you know, we have a ton of arms in this organization. I mean, I've come here last year, you know, I was only on the 3A side, so I didn't get to see a lot of the guys, but you know, being in camp, you know, Freddie's electric, Corbin's great, Lauer just came over, he's having a good spring. So you know, rather if I don't crack the rotation, I still think there's opportunity in the pen. I think there's, you know, I just want to be on this team and help them win. And I think that, you know, I'm very capable of, you know, providing some kind of role for this team sometime this year. So we'll see. But, you know, I'm optimistic about whatever happens, and I can only control what I control, go out there and compete and do the best I can.
Shelby, final thing, though. If things don't break right for you, breaking camp here, or have you thought about, you know, maybe staying with the organization because of that reason, that you never know what could happen?
Oh, man, that's tough to say.
I get it.
I want to be in the big leagues pitching, and I think, you know, I'm in a position where, you know, other teams are watching me and could probably see that, you know, I'm there. I'm back there where I need to be, you know, but, you know, I'm going to make it as hard as I can on Milwaukee, hopefully, and at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens. But this is an organization that I like a lot. I like the people in it. I like the, you know, the goals and, you know, the mindset throughout the season and the camaraderie, and just the people are great, from the players to the coaches to the training staff and athletic trainers. So I'm comfortable here, and like I said, I'm just going to do the best I can.
I'm rooting for you, man.
Thank you.
A diamond in the rough.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Shelby.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, there he is, Shelby Miller, just a couple of days ago. The Brewers' right-hander is, well, is he a bubble guy? I mean, what would you do with Shelby Miller?
Very much a bubble guy.
Yeah.
I'm not positive as to where he fits ultimately into the long-term plans. But what I do know is he's a competitor, and I really applaud the honesty that he said. I want to pitch in the big leagues. I believe that I'm a big league guy, while also still indicating one of the reasons why he likes the clubhouse and likes the group, because he believes in the mission that they have as well.
With his second tour of duty, if you will, with the Brewers organization. I mean, he was in their minor league system last year in the summer for a cup of coffee there. And so, is there room in the bullpen for him so they don't dangle him out there and have to, you know, turn him loose? Is there room in the bullpen for him? You know, that's, to me, a little bit maybe too experimental. I know St. Louis did bring in a lot of their pitchers via the bullpen. In other words, much like the Brewers did with Woody and with Burns in 18.
Yes.
They brought them through the bullpen to the rotation. The St. Louis Cardinals did the same thing, mm-hmm. so it wouldn't surprise me that he spent some time in that bullpen. But has at his age right now, and the way the bullpen is comprised right now for the Brewers, potentially, is there room? I'm not sure there is.
But you make room for guys that you believe can produce at the major league level.
True, and really what gives them a little bit of flexibility in that pen for a potential Shelby Miller is Corey Knable not breaking camp on the active roster.
And I don't believe that's going to happen. It doesn't appear that Corey's going to be ready to go on the active roster.
Right. So that does allow wiggle room.
And then it also allows you to do one of these things where Shelby pitches for a little while, and once Corey's ready to go, it's either Shelby Miller, or maybe it's David Phelps, or maybe it's Bobby Wall. Hey, Bobby, your back's tight, man.
Yeah, true.
And then you go from there.
15 days down.
Yeah, 15 days, and then we'll figure out what we got to do next.
Yeah, and it's just a similar situation, similar comments as Logan Morrison. I think these two guys have earned their right to be in the big leagues, and that's what happens with better teams in baseball. You do have tough cuts at the bottom end of your lineup, your roster, I should say.
Right.
Just simply because there are no options for these guys. They make the decisions difficult. There's more veterans on this team than you think, guys.
No doubt there are.
It's no longer.
It's a much more veteran club than we can remember in the last few years, and that's one thing that a lot of players have touched on in that room about the group this year. While we're gaining more comfortability with each other and we're getting together and we're understanding how each other plays, they all also are reminding themselves and remembering a lot of these guys are vets again.
They are. And, Keston Hira, the younger dude, there's a couple of guys that you could really define as young. Freddie Peralta certainly is young. And, he just signed a big 5-year deal. So the investment for Freddie Peralta is certainly there. I would surmise that they're going to find some way, shape, or form to do everything they can to make him click. For the next, and never being, using of those options that he's got, because he does have options. I mean, let's face it, if they want to buy a little time, Freddie might be a guy, Corbin Burns might be a guy. There are some options here. I'm rooting for Shelby Miller after meeting him. See, and that's the thing. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. You're such a fan, me, such a fan, hate the Cubs. Can't stand them. Same with St. Louis when they're playing against the Brewers. You then dice it to a certain player, David Fries, a Shelby Miller. Paul Goldschmidt is starting to get on my nerves these days, too.
You hate David Fries.
But then you interview them, and you get to know them just a little bit, and you find that it's like, why did I hate him that much? It's just a jersey.
Sure,
but
when you're in the middle of that and you're in competition, a lot of times the realization of the human aspect of it does get clouded.
It does, and Shelby Miller is a classic example of that. That was a nice conversation we had the other day. Well, all right, we'll continue with our conversation and a little piece of audio which involves, a Phoenix police officer makes his first appearance on the radio here on The Fan this year.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
Just incredible, and really it is a godsend that I was doing the Wendy's Big Show during it because...
Yes, full disclosure, Bill Schmidt was not involved.
No, I was not, and I'm really happy because the most part, whenever we have these conversations about somebody getting in trouble with the law, I'm centered around it. So I'm just glad that it was somebody else. And you yahoos had to deal with the feds, and I love the police. Don't get me wrong. Just a little bit uncomfortable because seemingly I always end up getting in trouble with them.
Yeah, it is wild. So we'll have that for you next, and we're talking Brewers baseball all this week. Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels, The Big Show, and here on Spring Training Live, everything Brewers Spring Training Live 2020 here at American Family Fields of Phoenix on The Fan.
Live from Maryvale, Arizona, it's Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt and Spring Training Live on The Fan.
And welcome back. American Family Fields of Phoenix is where the Brewers are, and that's where we are, talking everything Brewers, Tim and Tausch here, a Spring Training Takeover, and now we get to some fun stuff, and not that the Brewers aren't fun. This is some additional bonus fun here that we get while traveling together for work. There's been some fun times over the course of the last 14 trips here to the Phoenix metropolitan area?
Yeah, I don't... Let me say this delicately. I don't know if any encounter with the police is ever necessarily fun.
True.
However...
After the fact, maybe?
No. I disagree. No, actually, after the fact, a lot of times it's worse. But what I will say is it adds to the story. Content is king. Mm-hmm. And this is award-winning content that you guys got yourselves into.
So here's how things, the timeline shook out, and we'll give guys a sneak peek here at a little bit of a schedule. We're up early in the morning. We go to a media session and you know, talk to some players, do our homework today. Well, player, as it were, today with the media new media rules. But we do that. We will get council's daily briefing and get whatever information is pertinent that day, today. And it emanates from the media relations department. We then come back up here and join Bill Michaels.
Yep. Which is 11:30 local time here in Phoenix, then 1:30. So then I'm getting ready to get on the big show. So it's a good tune-up for me, get into the broadcast feel, and then you guys have some free time because obviously you're not going to sit in here for 4 hours.
So as we get off the air with Bill Michaels, we have about an hour to get to a surprise before the Brewers and Royals go
Which is
at
about
it.
A 15-minute drive.
Well, with traffic and everything, I think it was saying like a half hour.
Oh,
whatever,
okay.
Whatever
All right. Yeah, sure. Cute.
So we're on our way there. We're going to get into Royal Stadium and Surprise and – We're on our way and heading down Indian School Road. And we get to about, what would you say, Austin?
55th?
No, we're on
75th. 75th.
I was going to say, we're on 53rd. Yeah. Did you guys just get out of the dang parking lot?
No, last time, one of the other times I was at 83rd in Indian School is when Joe Zenzola had a little car accident while driving
which,
a rental car.
Which also, let's just... For full disclosure, cost Joe Zenzola another trip out to American Family Fields of Phoenix.
Okay. You shouldn't have told Austin that yet. You should have waited until we were on the plane back home. Just kidding. We get to 75th in Indian School, parked at a red light, stopped at a red light. We're in the right lane. Austin, the man, the gentleman to your left.
Yeah, he decided to merge into my lane right after the light turned green.
Once the light turned green, we
just go.
Proceed forward.
Sure.
But we don't proceed forward straight, says this gentleman to our left. He either drifts over or wanted to go through the intersection and get over into our lane in front of us.
So when you guys are sitting at the stoplight, I'm just trying to envision this. It's car, and you guys are just like parallel to each other.
Oh, yeah.
So essentially, when you look over to your left, you're making eye contact with the older gentleman right after.
Sure.
Okay, good. So there's no way that he didn't see that you guys were there unless he just decided not to care about it.
Who knows? We don't know. It's still a mystery.
Yeah, we never even got word from him. We couldn't understand him. He didn't speak any English.
I thought he ran over one of the construction metal pieces that go over a construction pothole or whatever. That's what it sounded like. And then I went, no, that was not. And then we look over and, holy crap, it's a car that just went – He's trading paint with us down Daytona. And
in the rental car that's on this guy's
your
credit
name.
Card.
Yeah, on cool. Your credit. It's on your credit card, yes. So we call the authorities, report it, because hey, we want to make it legal. There wasn't major damage.
Well, I would hope so.
Of course. There wasn't major damage, but enough just as, hey, man, let's dot the I's, cross the T's, call the authorities. We wait.
Twice.
An hour and 45 minutes before they get
there.
Yeah,
at least. We called the police back probably about an hour and 15 minutes after we'd been sitting there saying, hey, any guys coming anytime soon?
Now, here, me with this digital recorder in my hand, we pull off into the Jack in Box parking lot. I have the digital recorder. I'm very fascinated and interested in hearing the other driver's response to what just occurred. I tried to have a conversation with him. The audio isn't pleasant because, he needed a translator. I believe he's, what, Vietnamese?
Yep,
yeah,
Vietnamese.
Yeah, seemed like a great guy. He really did, and I felt bad
not
for him.
Not a great driver.
Not a horrible driver.
Sure.
Horrible driver. So
Tim
that
Allen
audio,
or this Vietnamese man, who's the better driver?
trying to communicate, and we couldn't. So he finally calls a buddy of his, and his buddy says, well, let's just wait till the police get here. So after the fact, the police report, they run my license. Obviously, Austin's license, everything clears. I'm a little fearful of a bench warrant in my past, so I don't know if I'm getting the bracelets or not, but we're all cleared to go. And this is what happens as the officer reapproaches us after he files the report. There we go. Now, Phoenix's finest reapproaching.
Thanks, sir.
So this is a summary of the accident.
Okay.
Accident numbers up here.
Okay.
So they're listed as vehicle one.
Okay.
They're at fault. Their insurance is down here. What's the number expiration?
Okay, so his name is on here then?
Yeah, his name, contact information, all that.
Okay.
And you guys are vehicle two. You would just give this to the...
The rental car company?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can I ask you this? Did he dispute it at any time?
Oh, no.
Okay.
You didn't. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
We asked guys, like, translator.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're just going to wait for the cops. So that didn't sound very reassuring to us.
Yeah, like I told them, it's under the price range for a full report. So just advise the rental company that it's going to be an info exchange only.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, officer, thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you
so
much.
Good luck
to you. Thank you.
Well, does that make you feel a little bit better, Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes you feel better?
Yeah, I'm feeling much better. Things are cleared up. Glad my name got cleared. I'm a free man. We can go back to enjoying our trip, talking some Brewers baseball.
Yeah,
life's good again.
Yeah, you did hear that the old guy didn't dispute it, so that was nice to hear.
That was nice, because that initial conversation was not very reassuring.
No,
put
his buddy
Ricky. Put a bad feeling in my stomach. It's like, what's going to happen? You know, the feeling of the unknown.
Good thing he didn't give you a sobriety test or a breathalyzer.
Oh, yeah, I would have failed that.
I'm just kidding. No, we're at work, man. Nope. More coming up.
Yep.
Here's the issue. Here is the issue. Not that Austin was going to get breathalyzed, but Tim Allen, God, ladies and gentlemen, love the guy, salt of the earth. There's an issue that Tim Allen might have personally. Tim
plenty.
Oh, plenty. But Tim is a very anxious individual. Tim likes things to be done yesterday.
Like,
so,
let's go.
Right. So when you get into a car with Tim Allen after he's done with work, most people would wait until you get home, you twist the top off, take a sip of your first Miller High Life of the day.
Me?
Tim Allen waits until the car is put into, the key is in the ignition, and then Tim Allen cracks a beer in the back seat. So that is what I'm most excited about, was the fact that somebody wasn't having himself a little road soda while you guys were going over to Surprise, Arizona.
No, that wasn't after a post game, because I've told the authorities many times, I have one road beer on my way home from work, right down 94. I'm not driving, though. So I don't know what kind of ticket that is.
That's still a ticket.
It is.
And, but you know who it is a ticket for?
For the
and
driver.
This is why this guy doesn't care, because it's for the driver. So Allen sits in the sidecar going, oh, sorry, not me. I'm going to keep slamming this Pilsner.
Let me just get rid of this. Hey, we'll take our final break here, wrap things up. A lot to get to tomorrow. We'll preview that next here on The Fan.
It's your chance to hear the latest from Brewers spring training with Tim Allen and Bill Babytow Schmid, and spring training live on The Fan.
Hey guys, our Brewers coverage continues tomorrow live here from American Family Fields of Phoenix. They're talking Brewers baseball and Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels, as well as the big show. Babytow here live from American Family Fields of Phoenix during the big show. David Stearns, president and GM of your Milwaukee Brewers, joins them in the booth tomorrow.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
We're having a couple of things going back and forth. He told Bill Michaels he is a vodka guy. He's a Tito's guy. Thinking maybe he has a gift waiting for him from the guys from the big show when he comes in here. But now we get to actually hear what David Stearns thought of the negotiations with Christian Yelich, and that's what I'm really excited to talk about with him, is the culmination of that process, and also the vindication for him, right, Timmy? Because you trade those kind of prospects in those types of numbers, ultimately the goal is for the 5 years to turn into a World Series. Well, now they've doubled down, and now they have 9 more years on top of the two already done here before. And for whatever Lewis Brinson does in his career, whatever Jordan Yamamoto ends up doing in his career, Isan Diaz, what they did and what Christian Yelich means to this organization can never be duplicated and can never be ousted.
Yeah, going to be interesting with your conversation with David Stearns tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow night on Spring Training Live, we'll hear from Adrian Hauser, also Lucas Erceg, who, you know, the second rounder that was selected just a few years ago. Where is he on the radar for his future? We'll talk to him. Also, the latest from Craig Counsell on tomorrow night's Spring Training Live. You guys have a great night. Austin, Texas, I feel for you, dude. I just have to say that.
Yeah, it was quite the day.
It was quite the day. We'll wind down, all right, in just a little while.
Yeah, but how about you wait until we get back to the house, Mr. Roadside?
I will. Yeah. Yeah, that's a dangerous proposition.
That's because I'm going to be driving home.
Yes, yes, you will.
I think I'll be driving for the remainder of the trip.
Thanks to Sam Schmitz, our engineer on the board in Milwaukee for Austin, Texas, Baby Tauce Bill Schmidt. My name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. We'll talk more Brewers baseball tomorrow and smile. Milwaukee, the world will smile back.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.